This morning I'm turning to the book of Revelation chapter 21. And I read verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And my subject this morning for our reflection is all things new. And okay, I will share the book of chemistry. Was a John new book or true revelation? Now chapter 21, verse 5, for now, we share as a new. As in a near or say a hindjana so a castle me ma and your many eye for no say true. Now science in me at a prayer now a bit a baby me. When we think of all things new, it's talking about new creation, the recreation of this world. That's what it's talking about. When the Lord will turn this world to paradise, when He will turn this world to a place where He will come and be with His people, when this world will be without sin, pain, sorrow, death, crying, when this world will be made anew. So that is what the vision Apostle John had. And he wrote it down, and it is added that, "And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." When we think of how things are in the world, just as they are, we might think, well, there's no hope that when the world is over, that is so. But then the Bible tells us, God says, "I'll make all things new." Yeah, can I say, sir, Bible can say, "You have to obey a new man, you have to follow." I have someone, I hear the prayers and parts. We say, "Oh, catch up, or say, John, or say, true." As I say, man, who pray, that a baby moves. But before we move on, you know, the previous chapter, which is chapter 20, Apostle John was shown a vision of the end of this present world. And he was shown that Satan and his powers of darkness had been defeated and they are internally banished to hell. So in chapter 20, verse 10, we read, it says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. These things are said in the past and as if it is done already, because God for God, there's nothing like present or future, because He's going to do it. So He's shown that the devil, Satan, and all his evil angels and the false prophet even that he's using, they're all cast into a place of torment forever. And he added forever and ever, meaning it is sure. So he was told, and also the present fashion of this world, its arrangement and appearance, the natural, the civil, political, the cosmos, time itself, had all faded into extinction. That one is told in verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Apostle John, answer na obeka nyafu pony we are from Bebono. When you are vision, a far, miss my we are see a woman, a baby. Now, how are visions as if a backward to Mudada? Now, verse chapter 20, verse 10, it's when he said, "Oh, when some and a home one in Omoa, or that the Omonia from Shafua to Foniniano, the Yomakoto, or when some Jim Bibia, Omonia, a better Tiomo Dada, any year. No, Samson, who said, "We are younger side this week, Miss Ma, who we are studying at the Abodia, we are to me, and she said, 'I'm buying it,' even say a chef's show, Miss Matia, and a Marian Casanso, a Kim Apple, and I was 11 o'clock, and I never say, 'I can go to time or so.'" Who said, "The new moon sooner as I see any a stroke, a chimu apple, Also, the activities of all the inhabitants of this world would have also vanished away, because if this, the buildings, the nature, I mean, plants, everything is going differently, the people also are going with it. So that the activities on earth is also has also vanished away. Education, business, work, leisure, whatever is in this world that makes life what life is also gone with it. It's vanished away. Whatever education people had, whatever knowledge, business, whatever work, whatever entertainment they had in this world, it has also gone away with the world as it is passing. So, and also everything we possess in this world will have also disappeared. So if people are passing and everything is going, the people, the thing we have also acquired in this world will also go along with the world. It's like when the flood comes to a place and it enters into your room, it is taking everything away, it's taking you away, and everything is gone. So that is how it is. Apostle Peter makes it even clearer about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Says that, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And he asks this question: "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all of holy conversations, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall dissolve, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat?" But my main thing in this verse is the passage that the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. The earth and the works, as we see, the works, just confirming what I say about the possessions, the talents, knowledge, pleasures, the friendships, inventions of this world, and the works of this world, the things that we have brought on in this world, they'll be burned up. And he asks, what persons must this make us? That is what he says. So we see that it is confirmed in scripture that this world and everything will go, the activities we enjoy doing, everything that we do in this world, the things we possess will also pass on. So Apostle John has shown this vision also. And also, he saw that all mankind had appeared before the Almighty God for judgment. And the final state of unbelieving sinners were fixed eternally in hell. But after so, who saw Bonsam, yet can also hear the fear of a real sin, a moon, and young so if you know, said Nipanka said, yes, I see so, a peer or a temple, or Yankupon, Obibiara, Abayankupon. Now, verse 12 to 14, I'll just pick some few phrases. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we see that finally, because you know the world was made for man. If the world is gone, man too is gone, then what comes after is judgment. And the other thing is, you know, see, as upon some the human form and upon the form of now we are seeing human so poor, you know. Ni panka se we are seeing human so poor, you know, and who point him. May you go attend a cassian and get to be a woof one at the other four. If you are your boy, in Juma, I am. The woe, a samadhi, and go go upon something, a wane, a woo, a tussle, and pray. So, after the vision of the banishment of Satan and sinners, and of the ruin and disappearance of the fashion of this present world, Apostle Paul was then shown a vision of the new world. So, you see how the ending of Revelation is beautiful. There's commotion, there's destruction, there's banishment, and then he's given a vision of the new world. Because if he was just giving the destruction and he was not giving what will happen next, then he was like, oh, is that the end? No. When someone feels, we ask if you are the boy who feels, I tell him over, then we ask a baby, then a man vision, and if you are so who are far, Satan, you may have come over, I do fire who washes his obey, the new creation. Then he was giving this sight, so such beautiful sight, so such comforting sight. This new world that will replace the present one which would have passed away. So we are so from everyone ever born. Ah, some renew we are seeing the apple. The new world is the restoration of order in the universe. Yes. How the universe is no more as God made it. It's the restoration of that. And also, that is the regeneration of the world. We call the creation's rebirth. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about this in Matthew 19:20, when he said that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, he promised his disciples that they will be with him. When he said of the regeneration, he has not to be born again. No, he's talking about the recreation of this world. When nature itself will be born again. That's what somebody said. Nature will be born again. Nature will be brought again, anew, better than even before, when God created. So you see, there's going to be a rebirth of this world. There's going to be a new thing in this world. And it's a great thing to behold. So the renovation of this world is like when somebody has an old and dilapidated house, he demolishes it and builds, constructs a new and modern one. So the old one is broken down, leveled, and when you come back and look at the new building, you cannot, except somebody who knew that there was an old building there, you might not see it because it is really built afresh on the old foundation. So that is the renovation of this world. And sometimes, I think if people should give time to reflect on this, this will really move us to the light to seek the Lord. So if I do not to be trusted again, he said, as I see every true one for any young person, the Asuama, as I saw for Rabanoa. Remember, like, do not have a fair, a rabbit, not a woman, listen, or see a woman. Because this doctrine is a great doctrine of the Bible that the new world order of things shall replace the ruins of the old by God's creating hand. It was God who first said that, let there be light, and there was light, who called everything to being. As we are told, that by the word of his mouth, he created all things. So, it is the same God again who will make these things to vanish away. He will cast Satan away. He will also cast away all things of this world. And then he will also bring to judgment sinners who never repented of sin, into hell, who never believed in Lord Jesus Christ, who never came and sought for forgiveness for their sin, who lived for themselves in pride, in ambition, in show, who never thoughts of their creator, thinking that they were created for themselves. All this will go into this everlasting shape. And this thing is, this doctrine is not only taught in the New Testament. It's even from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 65 verse 17, we are told, for behold, that is God saying, I create all things, I create new heaven and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Some people think that when we talk of the new creation is about only in the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, remember, we are told that when Abraham got to the land where God has promised him, he was looking for a city which God has built, not an earthly city. So is it the saints of old had their mind of what God was going to do. Though their vision was not clearer as we are today, we have that greater details before more than them. So it's a promise of God that God will create a new heaven and new earth. He will create a new world, which is so far different from this present world. Yeah, can say, sir, Bible, a church, boy, we are so far. A idea, a Bible, in church, a CP of Bible, but we say, at the phone of Quran, no more, at the phone, I want to for, no more, was I being with him. As I have cracked your farm, say, I will call, say, me boy, we are seeing us as a book from. And your mother, Nyayan Kaibu, and Ba Ajimu Krabu. So, it's an old doctrine of scripture. So, now, if reflecting on this further, on the new world, let's think first of how the present world was when God made it. Say, again, we are seeing us as a book of a boy. Yan, we are seeing our own CCA, Miss Manet here, and I am born. Let's cast our mind back. The first creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we are told, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. After creation of the first world, the one that we are in today, when God made it, initially he said that it was what? Very good. It was perfect. It was without any corruption, defilement. It was very good. God's own report was that it was very good. Meaning that creation as it was could not be improved. It was perfect. It was excellent. God's eyes saw no imperfection in his world. He was pleased with it. Glory and beauty, solid happiness and peace was in that world when he first made it. Nothing was out of place in the creation when God made it. Everything was in order. There was everything perfect. There was no pain. There was no illnesses. There was no death. There was nothing that would cause defects in that world when God made it. So the word very good also, when we apply it to man after creation means that he was morally and spiritually good. Yet when God said the creation was good, I mean generally, when we think of man as creator of God, meaning that he was morally and spiritually good. Yet can I say, I'm going to say, oh boy, we are going to be here. It means that there was no sin in God's world as he made it, because it is only sin that brings separation. So there was no sin. It was God himself said it was very good. So when the Lord said that it was very good, it shows the contrast between the world at the beginning and how it has become today. When he made it afresh, how it was, and how later it became. It was very good then. But what happened afterwards? And what actually the purpose of his creation? It's only God that can fully tell us about that. Because you and I were not there when he created it. And even how the world has become now, only he can tell us the purpose, why this world is still going on with so much evil, so much troubles, no solution to these things in this world. He only can tell us where this world is leading to. He only can tell us why we are here. The can said, "Said the young people, we are here, shall see. Any job is doing. Any day, I go so I go. I'm going to be to me asking you. Gentil, we are super. Gentil, money, we are so my dad so I go so. Any how any activity we are so that so I go so." So we see that if we look at the predictions of science and philosophers about the end of this world, it's a mere conjecture. They are just theories which cannot be founded. They are just imaginations of men. See, I dream is my body one show for ne we are saying as a for a couple we are see any dear basically we are see elk one maybe a big cry a baby a baby na we are see people are I just almost born with me can't get it. You say Obibiara so that we only depend on what God has told us, and that is where we draw our understanding. So that we saw that the creation when God made it at first, it was very good. That's what God said. And God is true. I mean his words are true. He's the God of truth. He said it was very good. So there was no sin, a defect in his world. Okay, the second thing that we think this world that God made it, what has it become now? As we are living in now. I'm sure this one, we are aware of what the world, but then God's word will tell us more. So we say that the world as it is now is no longer very good. The world we live in is no longer very good. If we are sitting here, things is here, and here, Papa, do I'm sure when we think of crime, when we think of difficulties and troubles, yes, people do agree that this world is not very good. It is not the best of worlds. I'm sure some philosophers think this was the best of world. Some also say, oh no, this is not the best of world. But then, the Bible only that tells this is not the best of world now. Before changes came, it was the best of world. It was the best thing God made. And now, it is not the best of world. And so that we cannot look for any enduring happiness or pleasures or possession in this world. Solid happiness, solid possession, solid peace can never be found in this world. So sometimes, when I think of world peace, they are going to helps and there will be peace, and another war will rise, and they're going, I mean, in the country, there are confusions and even political, whatever. And they go, oh, if they could do this, there will be peace. If they could, no. Let's look at the communities that we live in. Where is peace? You see? Where is peace? Where is solid happiness? What in this world that we can think of that it can give us happiness that we would never decide? No, there's nothing in this world. There is no solid peace, no solid treasures. And whatever we possess in this world, if we don't lose them, we may die and live it here. So we see that we cannot even have anything permanent in this world. There's no nothing as it is. There's nothing solid. Because this world is not the best of worlds. Why? Because sin has entered, and with sin, death has come in. And death comes with all sorts of misery. Sin has entered into the world. So the world was infested with sin, and therefore the world is not the best of worlds. Everything has come to the opposite of very good. Not very good, as we say. Somebody will say, oh, then why did sin come in? God made the world, is all powerful. Why did he allow sin to come in? Sin came in by permission. It is something that God allowed it to come in. It's not that he doesn't have power to disallow it. He only knows the reason why. So sin has come in. Death has come in. Everywhere there is misery of pain, sorrow, disappointment, weeping. Everywhere around us. A sum, a rehu, a yao. Everywhere there is decay, immorality, crime, and death. For here, any say, and the apostle, the papa away from Grabby, and the apostle, even living things are dying, and things and living things are also passing away. Crime, death is all around us because there's a sin in this world, and with this, bring to us pain, disappointment, sorrow, weepings, and all that. Because of sin, the perfect morality and spirituality bestowed in man by God's image. And this, the perfect morality and spirituality were the pillars by which the world was excellent. So in the immediate everything excellent about the world was erased. Adibia boni pe mu ama nipa nisu anaka e papa te se yankopon su no ene ye ne yankopon te mu anaka fi nsi mu pan no e boni pa ne ka ye pe no afa wiase nya afra wiase nya mes ma na e o papa yankopon ni asan. And yet it is man who has sinned. Yet all creation has been defaced. So while the very substance of the world's glory is now deficient, as a result of man's disobedience, God has also been faithful to his word against him. So there, Amma, one year I buy it. Because he told our first parent that in Genesis 17, verse 19, when they sin, before he told them when they sin, they would die. And when they sin, he cursed the world because of man's sin. He cursed the world because the world was made to serve man. And if you have sinned, then the happiness you draw from the world will be taken away. As the only prayer of you, now, why else were they? Now, I did a new one. If it's not a person who cannot know who said, why are you that's how it looks like. The world was made for man to enjoy it, to have dominion over it. And to, I mean, you know, at Adam, when he was made, God told him to give names to creation, to, I mean, things. You see, so that man had, the world was made for man, so that we just enjoy it while we are what? Faithful, obedient to God. But so, when we disobey God, God also took that enjoyment that man has to have from the world. As the Lord said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, cares the ground for thy sake, or say, and no man can say, if you need for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it, all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I say, a bread, a reconia man gnu, the better to us, I see. So at a tea, or yow, inti, or one inti. I say, if not, I don't know the old bread, yeah, the wool, nobody, and then, if you send the team, I mean, see, God put man in his place for man to see that he's nothing. And indeed, if people feel proud about themselves, it's a sad thing to behold, because we are all dust. And one day we are all will turn to this earth again. And then, so the whole thing is that God cursed the world because of man's sin. So the curse of sin was not only for man, it was put on the whole world as a whole. Because the world was made for man to enjoy. I have a quote from someone. He said that the short pleasure of sin draws after it a long punishment. So, that's what, when people think of sin, they think, oh, Adam just disobeyed God by eating the fruit. You know, the command to him, that the Bible tells us, if you disobey one of God's commandments, you have broken all the law. So, just one disobedience means he has broken all the law. So all the just punishment came upon him. So it is one sin, we are guilty before God. So that's what has happened. So that the pleasure of sin draws, as somebody said, after the long punishment. So, I mean, beyond the sin, the natural beauty of this world is what you face. Its original glory has departed. As the Bible says, Ichabod, the glory of God is departed. So that the glory that was on earth, the beauty that makes it beautiful, because it was that glory of his image in man, morally and spiritually perfect, good. Man naturally rises up and think of God and desire to obey him. Man naturally rises up and just desire to do right. No steal, no cheating, no lust, but it is gone. When man sinned, all this restraint was taken away, and man became, if not by the grace of God, not from the beast, but then God is so merciful to us. Yet, despite all this, the face and departure of God's glory, this world is not a world without a purpose. God still has his purpose running in this world. Yet, we have to say, when you have been my way, you know, God's divine purpose is still running, so that somebody will say, okay. But sin has come in, so God has deserted the world. He's no more interested in the world. That is why there are wars, there are trouble. No. We have already checked that God has kept the world. That's why there is trouble in this world. Afflictions will not live until sin is taken away. Affliction will always be there. So it is a sad thing to think this so-called prosperity preacher who think that, when you become a Christian, you should have no troubles in life. Sicknesses should be gone. It's a lie. Christians live in this world. Christ said, in this world you have tribulations, but in me you have peace. Christ said, we are in this world. Christians, until we are dead out of this world, afflictions will never leave us. Yet the Lord is with us. If we are one of those that have come to the Lord and repented of our sin and trusted in him, the Lord will be with us in time of difficulty. By then, we shall never be free from our troubles of life. It will still last like the world. Yet we know the Lord will also provide for us. So, how the world is cursed, but yet it is on course under the wisdom and the power of the Almighty God who made it. I mean, it's a mystery how things of God are running. Only He knows it. If you look at how things are happening, you say, things are off plan. No, it is on course according to His divine purpose. So the current state of the world is by the order of God to suit a fallen world. So that you know why? If you just think of if there's no in our constitution, there's no punishment for robbers. There's no punishment for murderers. Do you think each one of us will live in this country? No. If there's no punishment for those who go against the law. So you see, so long as there is sin in this world, God has also put this world under the current state of afflictions and trouble, so that else, if there was no afflictions and the world was not cursed after man's sin, I'm sure, I don't know what man would have become. But because of afflictions, you see, a tyrant will rise up, and as he goes on, then he's crushed. Death crashes him. Something happens. He's betrayed. A traitor betrays him and he's gone. A coup happens. And then, you see, because we are in this world. And even some of us that God has, if there's no afflictions in this world, I'm sure some of us will not be in church even today. Or will not give our minds to the Lord because we have one ambition. We easily have it. Another ambition. Then we are thinking. By the time we realize we are somewhere. But disappointment will come in. We will not be able to execute our purposes. Then we come back. We are not able to do the things that we think. Then we realize, oh no, things, our life is not in our hands. But if everything should go on smoothly, we'll never even think of our sins. But you know, afflictions are in this world. You always like turns, like you are walking in the bush. You think you are free, but then something took you. Oh, then realize I'm in the bush. That's what is happening. We are in the world where these afflictions are a blessing to help us to return to God. Else, we'll just sin and sin and nobody will turn. But these afflictions help us to look for God who has made us, except to become insensible and we are up. So, this current state of the world is by the order of God to suit our sinful natures, how disobedient we are. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, we are told of this. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. See, God has subjected the world to vanity, not only man, but the whole creation. And the same God has subjected this world to hope, that in the future there will be a new world. When things move passes away, there will be a new world. So you see, this is the most wise and reasonable explanation for the presence of evil in this world. You know, if you read some of the Greek philosophers, when they think they are writing about evil and why evil is in the world and how to get rid of it, it's so, sometimes so upset. But the Bible gives a simple and very reasonable explanation. Because sin is in this world, there's no way misery is going to go. Pain will never leave this world because sin is in this world. And as I said, while sin is in this world, it will help us so that we realize our sinfulness and desire God's plan of recovery by the gospel. Because the gospel promises us a deliverance from the power of sin. The gospel, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, brings to the sinner forgiveness, smiling face of God, approval of God, and then a new life, a spiritual life, to have that life that depends on God, having that assurance in your heart that God is with you even in this life of trouble, having this assurance that one day your state will change, a better world will come. It's only believers that have this in their heart. Well, some who are not believers may entertain the idea of heaven, but the wrong idea of heaven they have. Because this conversion, salvation, that brings us to this clearer light to know the certainty of this things. Because as the Bible tells us, God has shed abroad in our hearts his love. And this love causes us to know these things. We know that the believers know the love of God. And this love of God in their heart makes these things so clear and so real to us. Though they are not seen with their physical eyes. You see, so when people realize their sinfulness, and this sinfulness is, we are reminded by the afflictions in this world, then we desire a plan of recovery by the gospel. The plan of our recovery from sin, from this fall, so that our souls will be given again that dignity which we have lost. As Romans tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God, we have fallen short. We are all deficient. Without that new birth, without now salvation in Christ, where forgiveness of sin is given, and then we have our heart changed. This glory, we are strangers to this glory. But then when we come to taste the goodness of the Lord, his pardoning through the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are given this understanding, we are given this light, then we realize what it is. The blessings, as John tells us, we don't know what we shall be when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, but we know that we shall be like him, because he has promised us that we will be like him. We will be changed to his image. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because as the Bible says, we co-heirs with him. He is God, he is Almighty, but then he will give us a taste of that new nature which will give us that ability to dwell in that new world where sin will not be there, because no sin is going to be there. But we see that the presence of sin in this world is not biological defect. I sometimes read a documentary on BBC, and the person was talking a similar thing. Oh, he doesn't even mention sin. He talks of it as wrongs or was it fault, and he was referring as biological defect, as if it's not something that is morally and spiritually, because he himself thinks that there's no God. But it is moral and spiritual. And whenever anyone realizes that it's moral and spiritual, then he senses his need of his creator. Only the creator has solution for our moral and spiritual defects. No doctor, no medicine can cure that. No human skill can cure that. You remember what Apostle Paul tells us of the wisdom of this world when he compared to the gospel and the plan of salvation. He said that it's foolishness. Before God manifested his gospel, people have tried to solve the issue of the difficulties and the evil of this world. But then, it is the gospel that brings salvation, which has brought this solution so that people's heart can be changed. A sinner can be changed. One who loved his sins can be changed to beg them. One who hated God will now have a new heart to love the things of God and begin to hate the life of sin, which is so strange. Okay, so I move on to my next point, and that is, as we have looked at God's work when he made it as first, it was very good. And how it is now, it has been defaced, its beauty and glory is gone because sin has entered in. Now we look at God's word as it shall be, as our text tells us. And he that sitteth on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21 verse 5. Now let's think about the features of this new world, because it's very exciting to think so. And the first verse in chapter 21 said that, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. One of the great things that John saw, there was no more sea. You know that our world today, we are told, is about 71%, the surface of the earth, 71% of ocean, 71%. So we are living on less than 30% where there's a habitation on land. So its absence indicates that great change this new creation will produce on the landscape of the new world. Because this, 71% of this world which has the water will not be seen. So John, could just realize it's a great change. Because if this 71% of the surface of the earth, which is water, is not going to be water, then something to behold. So it tells us that there will be a great change, because this quantity of water, we are told that the sea will not be there. And this change will also affect plant and animal life as well as the sky. You know that the sea has effects on the water bodies and even our temperature and animal life and everything. The sea has so much effect on the water cycle and everything. So if there's no more sea, so I'm sure then nature also have a massive change. How they are going to survive and how things we don't know. So it is going to be a great change, as John saw it. So that there is no more sea. So many changes comes after that. Plant life, animal life, the sky, and everything. There's going to be something else. New heaven, and new. So indeed, the new creation is going to have a different thing. And the next thing also that. He said that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Verse 23. There will be no need of natural light in the new world. You see, in this world, each and every morning we look up to the sun to come. And if it should rain several days without the sun, then we are troubled. But in that new world, there will be no natural light. And I was thinking probably there will also be no rotation and revolution of the earth as in the new world, because the revolution and rotation of the earth produces time and seasons. Okay, we have times and seasons because of this revolution. And verse 5 tells us, for there shall be no night there. So there will be no day and night, so that the earth will not have to go around the sun. It has to die as it rotates on it as this. So there's a great change. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. So there's a great change. There will no more sea, no more this physical light as we see in that new world. Because the new world does not need time. It abides forever. These things move around so that we have time and season. There's no, I mean, the new world is stamped with eternity. So there's nothing. So just imagine a world without time. A world without season. You see, it's something to just think about. Here we have seasons and time, so each season moves us to our grave. Each season moves up to another situation in life. But in that world, no. There's nothing like that. There's no seasons, there's no harvest, sunshine and rain, whatever. So it's a beautiful thing to behold. So that new world will have such great things as we are thinking of. So indeed, many great changes will attend the physical appearance of the new world. There will be many great changes which we cannot fathom now. But let's move on. The third thing is that there will be the absence of death, sorrow, crying and pain in the new world. That's great. Yes, the changes in the atmosphere, nature, yes, they are great to us, but when we think of, there will be no death, sorrow, pain. Then, to us, it's a great thing because these things are our fears. Do you know why many people run to so-called prophets and to the juju men? Most of them, death, may protection, and whatever. Some people, they will not even think of God, but when trouble comes, they want to preserve their life. Fear. These things, pain. Difficult sorrow and death. This thing moves us to seek, even to run away from God. But then there will be no such thing in that new world. So we are so for no. I will. I reward. I sue. Or yeah. Anyhow, and we are there. The master. We are no. Here. And 1 year. In verse 4, chapter 21, we are told, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. But the former things are passed away. The Bible sees these things as former because it is taken away. The world and its sin and all the miseries have disappeared. What a world. It has gone. God, these miseries are the wormholes that have made everything in this world not really enjoyable. Sorrow, death, crying, and pain. Have all the things of this world. Have all the money. Let's just put it. Disturbs you. You cannot even sleep. You cannot even enjoy food. Have all the things in this world. And let illness attack you. If they should tell you for your money, you don't even care about your money. You see? Have all the nice things in the relationship. And let maybe dishonesty come to you. You don't want to do anything with that relationship again or friendship again. Yes, this is this world. And this affects us in this world. And when we talk of crying every day, everywhere, death is everywhere, bereavement everywhere. So you see, these are wormwoods. These are the bitterness that, which we have in this world. So that while we are enjoying everything in this world, look at families, start up nicely, everything moves on well. Then they give, sometimes a child comes in. To become the trouble of the parents, so they go to their grave. Well, oh, we need a child. We need a child. They have a child, and sometimes a child becomes the burden of the parents to their grave. Let people maybe have anything in this world, then the thorns will come in, sorrows will come in. Couples living happily, then one is gone, then life becomes something. Life changes for the other couple. Sometimes forever till they die, to their death. And the young also, you may think of many other things that affect disappointment and so many things. So they are everywhere. The rich and the poor, everybody, the young and old, they all share. We all share these difficulties, these four things, death, sorrow, crying, and pain. But in that new world, nothing of that sort will be there. And why death? Sorrow, crying, and pain will not be there because there will be no sin. Sin will not be there. In verse 27, we are told, and there shall no wife enter in anything that defileth, neither whosoever make it abomination or make it a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, sin and its misery will not be there because of the blood of the Lamb. and he made sacrifice for sin and uncleanness. Only he cleanses from sin. Only his sacrifice that can take away the curse of this sin from us. Only his sacrifice that can make us be reconciled to God. So his sacrifice has taken away sin and its injury from those who believe in him. And someone will say, oh, then when I believe in Jesus Christ, then I will not feel pain again. I will not die. But that is, the Bible tells us that faith in Christ now on this earth recovers us from the spiritual death and misery, spiritual misery now. Recovering from physical death and misery is assured us in the world to come. In this world, the believer dies as the unbeliever. But the physical recovery, the change, our physical bodily change, is after the resurrection. When Christ comes again, when he changed our vile body to be like this, then the Christian will not be free from it. But then, when we are saved, we are saved from this spiritual attempt. Our relationship with God that was severed is brought back again. And the troubles of the soul when it's without God is restored. There's so much peace and true life in the soul. That is what we are given. So this is one of the things that the charismatic have missed. Those who think that when I'm saved, I should not be sick. The Bible has not promised that. I should not have the appointment. I should not be somebody who will not give birth. No. In this world, our physical recovery is not there. When we are saved, we look like the same. If our hands were short when we got saved, it will be the same until the new world. So that is what the Bible has to. So we look for our physical recovery in the new world to come, after the resurrection, when our bodies are changed. But in this world, now when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have that spiritual recovery, the spiritual death, which bring us back again to the life of God. Makes us dependent of God, trusting in God, living for him in this world. Time is going, so I'll quickly do with my fourth thing and I'm done. The greatest thing that is going to come down is that God is going to come down to dwell in this new world. After the pain is gone, everything, God himself will dwell there. But if there's no pain and yet if God is not there, so there's not be so much a delight. Verse 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. God's presence in Garden of Eden was what Adam lost. When God came after sin, Adam was running away, but before God could come and speak to him. So God's presence will be permanently manifested among the inhabitants of this new world. Always they will have God's presence with them. Such a blessedness Adam lost, that he could not have that presence of God with him. This also means that holiness and righteousness will be the character of this new world. God himself will be there, and God's throne is the habitation of holiness and righteousness and justice. God's throne is the habitation of truth. So there will be no dishonesty and lies there. So that peace shall ever reign in this new world forever under the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He will rule in this new world, as also we are told, the kingdom of God. He will rule in this new world. The new world will be ruled by the Prince of Peace, so peace will always attend his people. But as I'm coming to conclusion, my question to you, will you be among these who will be in this new world? Will you have your place among the inhabitants of the new world? When the Lord Jesus Christ said it is finished, he made an end of sin. He killed what sin was meant for. He made an end of sin. So he has opened the way for God to dwell among men. He has given access for sinners to be reconciled to God and have fellowship with him now. This is what Christ is doing now. And it is only those who have been reconciled with God now, received his forgiveness, have their names in the Lamb Book of Life, only these are sure that they will also enter into the new world. So therefore, there are conditions for us. But the Bible always tells us, it comes with repentance of sin. We will realize our sinfulness. All the blessings of grace and glory begins with this. When we realize our sinfulness, we realize that we are far away from God.
And we cry to him, looking to Calvary, Calvary's cross, where Christ hung. Remember the thief? He said, Lord, remember me when you go. As Lord Jesus Christ said, today we'll be with you in paradise. That is what sinners like us will always think. The Lord has promised a new world. And then you go to him, go to Lord Jesus Christ and ask him. We confess our sins to him, and we ask him to come, to give us, cleanse us from all of our sins, and grant us a new heart, to be able to live for him, be able to dwell among his people, and be able to hope for this new world. So it is only by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to this new world, while we live in this side of hell, while we live in this world of sorrow, pain, death, and disappointment. Then there's a hope in our hearts that one day we shall go and dwell above with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us also think, in that new world, there's no sin. So if we still in our state of sin, we can never be assured. We can never think of going there. Our sins will be cleansed. Our sins will be forgiven us. The Lord should give us his own nature, because there will be peace. Sinners don't like peace. We don't like peace. Until our hearts are changed, there will be light and holiness and peace and things like that. So may the Lord help us as we think on these things of the new creation. For he said that, behold, I make all things new. And my last question again is, will you be there? Once you go, be an hour. Cesar, after so for the bar, Ubenya, Utefa, Umuana.